This is your tech news briefing for Friday, June 19th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. We often hear about cyber criminals when they go after big companies or entities, but recently some ransomware attacks have been infiltrating smaller but important players behind the scenes. Our reporter Jenny Strasberg will join us to explain why after these headlines. Facebook has removed some posts and ads for President Trump's re-election campaign, saying they violate the company's policy against what it calls organized hate. Our reporter Emily Glazer has more.
So Facebook, Google, and Twitter have all been figuring out how to treat political ads and political content. This has been going on for months. And late last year, Twitter and Google took more stringent actions with their new political ad policies that either limited or really didn't allow political ads on the platform. Facebook has been criticized for not doing as much as the other platforms, especially as we've seen more recent content that some have argued is questionable. Things got heated again this week when Facebook decided to take down Trump campaign posts and ads and said that those posts and ads violated Facebook's policy against, quote, organized hate. Specifically, the Trump ads included a red downward pointing triangle that it said was targeting Antifa, a movement that they described as dangerous mobs of far left groups. However, the Anti-Defamation League has said that the inverted red triangle is a marking that Nazis used to designate political prisoners in concentration camps.
Emily says Facebook's decision to take down this content will have consequences for the Trump campaign.
Facebook is an essential platform for the Trump campaign to raise money, connect with their supporters, and try to reach potential voters. The Trump campaign spent more than $18 million on Facebook so far just this year, 2020, and that's on top of millions, tens of millions that it spent in prior years. So this decision by Facebook to take down its ads, while not the first time, definitely sends a message, and it'll be interesting to see how this affects political ads, especially those by the Trump campaign moving forward.
The international community has been negotiating about whether and how to tax the tech giants, but talks have been at a standstill. On Thursday, France and other leaders in the European Union said they would go ahead with their own digital services taxes by next year, even if no international agreement has been reached. It's an escalation of talks between some European countries and the U.S., which has argued that taxing tech companies disproportionately hurts American businesses. And superheroes like Superman, as well as Batman and Wonder Woman, are joining the cast of Spotify. The streaming giant announced an exclusive partnership with Warner Brothers to produce original podcasts based on the DC universe of superheroes and villains. It's just the latest acquisition for Spotify, which has spent over $600 million as it seeks to reposition itself as a full-service audio company instead of just a music streaming platform. Have to mention here that the Wall Street Journal has a podcast partnership with Gimlet, which is owned by Spotify. After the break, how and why hackers are avoiding headlines by going after more under-the-radar companies. That's next. When hackers target high-profile entities like hospitals, retailers, or the Democratic National Convention, it makes headlines. That might be why savvy cybercriminals have begun looking for quieter ways to get at the information and sometimes the money that they're after. Analysts say we're beginning to see more attacks on companies you've probably never heard of. Our cybersecurity reporter, Jenny Strasberg, joins us to explain. Jenny, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Jenny, you spoke to a legal services company called Epic that was hacked earlier this year. How did they discover the breach and what did cleanup look like for them?
Sure. So they discovered on February 29th, late at night, that they had intruders, and they quickly decided to shut down their systems, realizing that they were under a ransomware attack, which is frightening for any company. You know, it usually means that the attackers have been on your system for a while, they've chosen an optimum time, and it's hard to know how much they already know and how bad it already is. So they shut down their systems globally in the hopes that they could basically like shut off the digital corridors of access and limit the damage. And basically they bet on the idea that they could bring it back up from their backup systems. And The scary thing is, and the really costly thing with ransomware attacks is often, it's not just about the ransom and the demands of the attackers. It's about lost business and your clients going elsewhere and lawsuits and all those ramifications. So they spent 2 to 3 weeks going through a process of like scrambling to get their public-facing websites up and giving their clients, you know, cloud-based options to do what they do, which is manage a lot of legal documents, discoveries for trial. They handle like claims and bankruptcies. They handle compliance file documentation for corporations and banks. So there's a lot of sensitive documents involved.
So I guess the big question is like, why would a hacker target a company like Epic? Why not target a bigger, more powerful company? What did they have that they wanted?
They have big, powerful clients. They have extremely deadline-driven clients. I mean, there were trials happening in U.S. District Court, you know, victims of wrongdoing waiting for restitutions and payments and bankruptcies happening. And think of it like this is March of 2020. The pandemic's picking up. Epic is not a household name by any means, but if you're a bankruptcy lawyer, you know who Epic is. They handle a lot of major bankruptcy. They're like this behind the scenes administrator. You might go on their website to like file a claim or get information on filing a claim, or they might be the company that serves you notice that you're eligible to claim something. So it seems likely that in a lot of cases, these ransomware attackers will hit at the time when they can do the most damage and put the company under the most pressure possible. And in this case, you've got law firms, banks, global conglomerates like needing this documentation, needing access to these websites that were down. They went dark. And that's a scary proposition for a company that its livelihood depends on meeting these clients' demands and keeping their data secure.
And at a time when it's, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, the challenges of keeping cybersecurity protections in place during the pandemic when everyone is working from home. Did that play a role in this, that this was happening during the pandemic when it's harder to protect your kind of internal systems?
A lot of, it's a good question, a lot of ransomware attacks, they can be your garden variety phishing emails, phishing, you know, the bait. It can take one employee to an infected computer, and then the malware can spread laterally through the system, gathering information and essentially becoming smarter and smarter about the target, about the victim. You know, we've reported a lot on the dangers of people working from home, because there's a lot more entry points and a lot of companies scrambled to do this quickly. Now, this was February 29th, so, you know, Epic was just starting to, they were juggling the work from home plans. They were actually furloughing employees because of law firms closing offices. Then all of a sudden they're shutting down their systems. They're essentially like not operating, or at least not operating in the way that they're accustomed to operating. You know, they had to resort to all different ways of communicating with their clients and filing claims by a different like backup website. They had to scramble to set up backup websites. But yeah, I mean, the pandemic has created a lot more opportunities for cyber criminals and a lot of desperation among their victims.
Yeah, I was just going to ask too, is this just one company? Are we seeing a broader trend for these smaller, behind the scenes, crucial, critical points of contact to be targeted by hackers?
Yeah, there are a lot of what are called managed service providers, like the kind of companies that will host services for other companies. And so they end up being like the conduit or the keeper of a lot of sensitive data. You know, if they're managing payroll for a hospital or like patient records or like CPA firms, you know, accounting firms, and law firms themselves are also targeted a lot because they handle a lot of sensitive data for their clients. But A lot of ransomware attacks are hitting companies that you and I have probably never heard of, but they're cogs in the economy and they're cogs in the court systems. And what we wanted to show was how a single attack can kind of ripple across the country in like ways that are largely unseen, but really can bring things to a grinding halt and cause just like a massive scramble, you know, and it's unfortunately not uncommon.
Our reporter, Jenny Strasberg, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Before we go, today is Juneteenth, and some major tech companies have given employees off and announced other changes in response to the killing of George Floyd. We know a lot of our listeners work in tech. We want to hear how these changes are impacting you, the employees. How has your company addressed the protest? Have they implemented new diversity and inclusion policies, like celebrating Juneteenth? What changes do you still want to see? Give us a call. We've put the number in the description and tell us your stories. We may include them on the show. That was your Tech News Briefing for today. We're produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. Have a great weekend and thanks for listening.